We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
My name's Marshall Blessing. I'm the care pastor here, and I'm glad to see you all in church today. Today is a wonderful day, and I'm glad you're part of it. What have you quit lately? What have you quit lately? Sometimes we can stigmatize quitting. We say things like, don't be a quitter. But if you're able to quit doing something that's harming your life, that deserves to be celebrated. Quitting can be hard. Just ask somebody who's ever quit smoking. But each of us in our lives probably has something that we need to quit. Maybe a few things that we need to quit. Over the past few weeks, we've been going through this sermon series called I Quit. And we've had some sermons with increasingly controversial sermon titles. We started off with, I quit hating my life. Then we had, I quit loving my life. And then we had, I quit going to church. Well, today, this sermon is titled, I Quit Living on the Edge. Oh, sorry, I Quit Living on the Edge. All right. We're good. If you missed any of those previous sermons, they were really good. I encourage you to check them out. We post them on our website. You can watch the whole sermon. You can share it with somebody. So if you think it's a good message, if you know somebody who needs to hear it, share it with somebody. If you recognize something holding you back in your life, we hope that you will have the strength to say, I quit. If you have questions or you'd like some support, talk to us. Please reach out to us. If you would like to contact us anonymously, you can use our anonymous text line, 214-856-0550. We'd be glad to talk to you. We want to address your questions, and we want to help you quit. Now, let's be honest. There are probably some things all of us need to quit doing. I know there are things that I need to quit. There are things you need to quit. For instance, I bet many of you, if not all of you, are living on the edge. Turn to somebody sitting around. Turn to someone and tell them, quit living on the edge. What am I talking about? Well, there are times in everyone's life where we find ourselves living on the edge. For instance, right now, Pastor Chris and Sarah, I'm sure they're on edge waiting to know when is their son going to be born. It could be any minute. When is it going to be? Or in my case, every morning, I'm living on the edge. Apparently, I picked the better half of the bed when my wife and I were deciding, I picked the good half. So at night, unconsciously, she tends to migrate towards my side of the bed until when I wake up in the morning, I've got about that much mattress left. And so I'm living on the edge. We're all living on the edge in different ways. But that's not really what I'm talking about. An edge is a transition. It is where one thing ends and another begins. We all find ourselves at times of transition in our life. We can all find ourselves on an edge, but it's not a place to live. It's not a good place to stay. We shouldn't set up camp there. With an edge, one side is better than the other. Now, when we look at transitions and choices in our life, they can have pros and cons. There can be strengths and weaknesses to each side. Sometimes we can be on the fence about where we're going to go, which one's better, where should we choose. But today, when I say edge, I mean that one side is significantly better and one side is significantly worse. Think of a cliff. That's the mental picture I want you to get when I say edge today. All right? When you cross over an edge, it can be hard to come back. It may not be impossible, but you may have some climbing to do. There is some danger when you're approaching an edge. That's why they put up signs that say, caution, look out, hazardous cliff, stay back. Now, you can end up there in different ways. We might get pushed out to the edge by the circumstances in our life. Or we might move there ourselves, little by little. We might inch closer and closer through the choices that we make until we find ourselves right up on the edge. The problem is that human beings are adaptable. God gave us the ability to get used to things. Being on the edge might make us nervous at first. If you've ever stood on a cliff edge or on the edge of a tall building and looked over, whoo, it can tend to make you a little bit uneasy. But if you're forced to stay there for a while, over time, you can get used to it. After a while, well, you might make yourself at home. That's not so bad. I could get used to this. This isn't that bad, really. I just won't look over the edge, but I'm good. We can get comfortable. In fact, we can convince ourselves that the danger we face in going over the edge isn't as bad as the effort it would take us to move away from the edge. Yeah, that's not that bad. I mean, look, I'd have to move my stool and get up. I might as well just stay here. I'm good. I feel all right. That's crazy. That's crazy. When you're sitting on a precipice, when you're on the edge, that's not a place to stay. Here's an example. This was a house here in Texas. I say was. This picture was taken about a year ago in June of 2014. This house was built on a cliff overlooking Lake Whitney near Fort Worth. Now, sure, there's a cliff, but man, they got a great view. Now, to be fair, when they built the house, the cliff edge was a little bit farther away. But over time, that cliff eroded, and the edge moved closer and closer to that house. Yeah, but come on. I mean, do you know how expensive it would be to move a multi-$100,000 house? And they still got a great view. I mean, it's not that bad, right? Well, the question is, at what point do you stop living there? Hopefully, it's before this happens. In June of last year, the house started to crumble and fall off the edge of that cliff. Fortunately, the owners had vacated the house before it happened. This is what happens when we live on the edge. The problem is, we don't know when it will happen. And we can always tell ourselves, it won't happen today. What's worse is that it can affect people around us. Now, to be honest, I don't remember who was preaching. It might have been Chris before he started using a tablet. But I do distinctly remember I was sitting in church one Sunday. The preacher was using one of these music stands, but they set it up right on the edge of the stage. And I noticed it when they started, and I thought, oh, man, that's really close. That could just fall off at any time. And they were really animated, and they were... And I was on the edge of my seat like, I got to be ready to jump up there and catch it. I was on the edge because they were on the edge. When we live on the edge, it can tend to make the people around us nervous. It can affect our relationships. And if the people around you can get past that, eventually they can start to get comfortable with you living on the edge. Over time, they can come to think that it's safe. They could be depending on you. And one day you're not there for them because you went over the edge. Or worse, you could take them over the edge with you. Think about it. Your kids, your family, your friends. You could take them over the edge with you. That's terrible. Does this make sense? We need to quit living on the edge. It seems pretty straightforward. But I'm talking about more than just buying a house on a cliff. We can live on the edge in many different ways. If you're engaging in any kind of risky behavior, you're living on the edge. Many of us need to quit living on the edge of emergency. If you're doing something that could potentially have a devastating impact on your life, but you tell yourself, that's never going to happen, I'll be fine, you are living on the edge. Let me tell you that right now. We just finished a sermon series about our finances. Well, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, if you don't have a savings or an emergency fund, well, you're just one car problem or health problem or job problem away from a financial emergency. You are living on the edge. But it doesn't have to be financial. It could be your health. If you eat a Baconator cheeseburger every night for dinner and you never exercise, you could be living on the edge. That cliff is creeping closer and closer, and one day you're going to have a major problem. If you never brush your teeth, you could be living on the edge. You could be living on the edge with relationships in your life. If there's an important relationship in your life, maybe your marriage, but it's just kind of stagnant. You're not really on good terms, but, you know, things aren't necessarily bad. You're just kind of letting it be. Things might be a little bit tense, but it could be worse. If you're not taking steps to foster that relationship, you could be living on the edge. If you're fostering anger against somebody, man, one of these days that guy's just going to get on my last good nerve and then, oh, I'm going to let him have it. You could be living on the edge. If there's somebody who feels that way about you and you're like, geez, that guy, every time I see him, he seems really mad at me. Man, I'm worried one of these days. You could be living on the edge. You might think about going and talking to them and working something out there. If you have symptoms, if you are experiencing a medical problem, but you tell yourself, it's not that bad, I'll be fine, I don't like doctors, it'll probably go away. You could be living on the edge. If you're doing things at work or at school that you shouldn't be doing because you think you'll never get caught. If you're doing anything illegal, if you're messing around with drugs, if you're beginning to become dependent on alcohol, you are living on the edge. And we need to quit living on the edge. Because if we don't, one day we will go over the edge. Now I realize this could be a challenging message. Please don't tune me out. When we're living on the edge and we've gotten comfortable, We don't like when someone comes up and says, hey, that's really dangerous. Do you realize you're right on the edge there? You could go over. No, man, I'm comfortable here. Get off. Don't remind me of that. When we're living on the edge and we've gotten comfortable, we don't like it when someone points it out and says, hey, that's dangerous. But it is. I love you. And I don't want to see you go over the edge. We need to identify areas where we're living on the edge of an emergency and we need to quit. We need to move away from the edge. Now, some of you might say, that's the problem. See, I didn't choose to be living on the edge. I'm not living here by choice. I can't do anything about it. Let me tell you, you can always do something. There is always something you can do to move away from that edge. All right? First thing, pray. God is always there for you. You can always reach out to Him. Pray. With God, all things are possible. He doesn't want you to go over the edge. Reach out to Him. Ask Him for help. Ask Him for guidance to know what to do. And don't stop reaching out to Him. Second, escaping the edge is a matter of priorities. We may know that the edge is a problem, but other things can seem more urgent. In the past, Pastor Chris has told us about letting the urgent preempt the important. Getting away from the edge is important, but other things can come up and seem more urgent. I can't worry about that right now. I got to take care of this and this. And all the whole time, we're still just living on the edge. We haven't gone anywhere. We need to shift our thinking. Getting away from the edge is important, but we also need to realize that it is urgent. We could go over the edge today. We need to move now. We need to start taking steps to get away from the edge. During the Financial Peace Sermon Series, we introduced a phrase, gazelle-like intensity. Everyone say it with me. Gazelle-like intensity. But we never really explained what that means. So I'm going to do that right now. Picture a gazelle out on the African plains getting chased by a cheetah. When it is getting chased, when it's running for its life, it is living on the edge. It is one misstep away from becoming lunch. It doesn't have time to think about other things or to worry about other things or to stop and take a break. It has to be focused on getting away from that cheetah. It needs to put space between itself and that cheetah until it's safe. We need to have that same intensity when it comes to moving away from the edge of an emergency in our life. The danger may not seem as real as a predator bearing down on us, but it is. We need to see that it is. We need to be focused on putting space between ourselves and that emergency until we're away from that edge, until we're safe. We need to make it a priority. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of a hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. When your life is on the line, you don't want to focus on anything else. Well, when you're on the edge of disaster, you need to be that focused. Be intense. Be focused. Don't let anything else distract you. Now, this term, gazelle-like intensity, comes from Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace course. And it's part of some tools and guidance that can help you avoid a financial emergency. But this idea, gazelle-like intensity, applies to any area of our life. If you're approaching a health emergency, you need to be focused. You need to be intense about saving your life. If you're approaching any kind of emergency, a relationship emergency, in any area, if it's important to you, you need to be focused. If you're on the edge of an emergency, you need to be intense and don't stop until you're safe. It takes perseverance. James chapter 1, verse 4. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Again, start by praying. Ask God to open your eyes to the danger that you're facing. Ask him for the wisdom to know what to do about it. Ask him for wisdom to distinguish between the urgent and the important. But you need to be committed to it. You need to be single-minded about getting away from that edge. Now, I don't know if any of you remember, used to have one of those little wind-up toys. They'd like sometimes looked like a little robot, or I had one that kind of looked like Godzilla and sparks would fly out of the mouth. You wind it up and its little feet would go and it would just march in a straight line. You're not one of those toys. All right? When you pray, God, help me get away from this edge, don't expect him to just move you back and you keep going in the same direction. All right? You can change direction. Or maybe you know one of these things. I found it in the toy box. These little cars, when you roll them backwards to wind them up, and then you let them go. Well, sometimes we can do that. We realize, oh man, I'm on the edge here. I need to back up. And then you start going, and oh, I don't know. Did I really need to avoid that edge? Is it really that? Man, this is getting tough. Maybe it wasn't that bad. Don't do that. All right? We need to be focused. We need to be single-minded. Don't go back and forth. Don't doubt that the problem is real. Don't doubt your commitment to getting away from the edge. Continuing with verse 6. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Don't be double-minded. You are either committed to getting away from the edge, or you're committed to going over the edge. Living on the edge is unstable, and going back and forth about it is even more unstable. Again, look at this house. Imagine if the owner couldn't decide if he wanted to move out or not. And so he would get all his furniture and move it out of the house and then move it back in. And then move it all out again and move it back in. That would be even more unstable than if he just stayed put. This reminds me of the parable that Jesus told about the man who built his house on the rock and the man who built his house on the sand. We find it in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." Now, where do you find sand? Oftentimes, you'll find it along the edge of a body of water. Whoever hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the edge. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and when it And it fell with a great crash. Does that sound accurate? The cliff in that picture was made of sand. But in this parable, Jesus is talking about obeying his teachings. Jesus is talking about our spiritual life as well as our physical life. The truth is, we can be living on the edge in our spiritual life as well. We need to quit living on the edge of sin. The problem with sin is that the edge might look really appealing. It might look like a great place to live for a season before it crumbles. And as Christians, sometimes we see just how close we can get to the edge, because we know we're supposed to stay up here, and we know God's word tells us not to go over there. But, you know, it doesn't specifically say not to go here. Okay, so I'm good. And depending on your interpretation, you know, that one could also be okay. All right, I'm staying away from there, but, you know, that seems okay. All right. Because, I mean, we just want to check it out. We want to see what's over there that's so bad. Or maybe somebody dropped a quarter over there. I want to make sure they have enough money for their laundry. I'm not going to go over there. I just want to kind of see how close I can get. And now, I want to be safe, so I'm just going to brace myself. I'm not actually stepping. It's just so this doesn't count. We can do that as Christians. We see just how close we can get to what we're not supposed to be doing. Amen? I've seen it happen. I've done it. Don't be that guy. Since it's a spiritual thing, that edge is sort of invisible. That makes it even harder. Where's the line? It's easy to lose track of where the edge is. And if you can't see the edge, then it's really easy to go over. It reminds me of the story of Abner. Now, we mentioned him way back during our Dumb Ways to Die sermon series, because he died in a really dumb way. All right? This is Old Testament stuff. This took place back when David was becoming king. Back in the Old Testament, Abner had killed Asahel. So Asahel's brother Joab wanted to kill Abner. Okay? Joab wants to kill Abner. But in those days, if somebody wanted to kill you, all you had to do was go to certain cities known as cities of refuge, and people weren't allowed to kill you there. All you had to do was stay in one of those cities, and you would be safe. The city of Hebron was one of those cities. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 27 basically tells the story. Now, when Abner returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside into the gateway as though to speak with him privately. And there, to avenge the blood of his brother Asahel, Joab stabbed him in the stomach and he died. Joab got Abner to go out to the gate. Abner stepped over the boundary of the city and Joab killed him. Abner lost track of where the edge was, and he went over it, and he died. Don't you do that. Don't do that. Don't push the limits. Don't see how far you can go. If you're approaching something that might be sinful, turn around. Repent. The edge might be closer than you think. Another thing we tend to do when we find ourselves on the edge is, rather than moving away from it, we just look for another cliff that's not as bad. Now, I know I shouldn't be doing this. I probably shouldn't be standing on this stool here. But, how about this? This isn't so bad. At least it's not that. No, you're still living on the edge. All right? The danger's still there. You're not safe yet. Oh, you might only break your legs instead of killing yourself if you fall off, but come on, you need to move away. You need to turn away from that edge and turn back towards God. The edge might be closer than you think. Jesus told the people, "You've heard it said, do not commit murder." And the people said, "Yeah, I've heard that. We don't do that. All right, good word, preacher." And then Jesus said, "Well, if you're angry with someone, it's the same thing. You've already crossed the line. You've heard it said, do not commit adultery. But if you look at someone with lust, you've already committed adultery. You've already gone over the edge." All right? The edge might be closer than you think. We could find ourselves over the edge of sin. We could still be near the edge. We could still be living on the edge, but on the wrong side. You might think to yourself, "Well, nah, see, I haven't experienced any of the consequences yet. This isn't so bad. I mean, how could it be that bad if nothing's happened to me yet?" That doesn't indicate whether you've gone over the edge or not. This will show you the maturity of my thinking. I think back to Wile E. Coyote in the old Roadrunner cartoons. Sometimes the Roadrunner would trick him and he'd go running off an edge. But then he'd stand there for a second and look around, and it was like he knew something was wrong even though he was floating in midair. And then he'd notice there was no ground beneath his feet, and then he'd collapse. Sometimes sin can be like that. We go over the edge. We don't experience the impact until much later. Now, you might be tempted to say, "Well, if I do cross the line, if I sin, I can always repent." And that's true. And I pray that you do. But you still might have to deal with the consequences of your actions. And if we don't turn back soon enough, that crash can come up real suddenly. And when we least expect it. Samson was a man who lived on the edge. He was set apart by God before he was born, but he often went over the edge of sin because he figured, "Well, I'm strong. I'll be all right. I can handle anything." Until he found out that sometimes when you go over the edge, it's not so easy to come back. You know the story. He was living with a Philistine woman named Delilah, and she was working for his enemies. And she was really interested in the source of his strength. So he would tell her things, and she would try them. Now, that's a red flag right there. But whatever, he liked living on the edge. So one day he told her, "Oh no, my strength comes from my long hair." And so she waited till he fell asleep, and she cut his hair off. And Judges chapter 16, verse 20. Then she called, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and thought, "I'll go out as before and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. That could be us. We figure, "Nah, it'll be like the last time. I'll be fine. I'll go out. I'll sort it out. We'll get it worked out. Everything will be fine." Until it's not. We think, "I'll have time to fix this later." Until we don't. We don't realize how far we've wandered from God. Now, this sermon can be kind of heavy. But I'm going to go completely over the edge and really hammer it home by bringing up cancer. In a way, sin is like cancer. It grows, but we can't always see it. Imagine if you noticed an ugly spot on your arm. But you think it'll probably go away. A few months later, it's still there. A few months later, it's a little bit bigger. But you think, I'll deal with it later. I got I got this going on, and I got to handle this. I'll get to that. It'll be all right. It gets bigger and uglier, and you put it off, and you put it off. You're living on the edge. Until one day you decide, okay, ooh, yeah, I should probably get that checked out. Well, it's skin cancer. And what's worse, it's been growing inside of you. It's spread to other parts of your body, and it's going to be really hard to remove, if not impossible. They could have taken care of it easily if you would have gone and gotten it checked out way back. But now it's too late. You crossed the line several months ago, and you didn't even realize it. Sin works that way. If you're trying to manage some sin problem in your life, it's not going to work. Sin grows in your life, even when you can't see it. You need to take care of it today. You need to report it. Hey, God, I realize I got this problem. I need to get rid of it. Turn back today. Repent today. You may think you have control over it. You may think you have it under control, but when it's really getting worse all the time and you don't realize it, quit living on the edge. Move back towards God. You may have gone over the edge already, but you can always turn back to God. The difference between cancer and sin is that we can always go back to God. All right? You may still have to deal with some of the consequences, but God is always ready to take you back. There's always something you can do. God is there for you, and He's ready to welcome you back as soon as you turn around. And the amazing thing is that the edge to get back to God is always right behind you. You just got to turn around. It's right there. Just turn around, repent, and move back towards Him. Quit living on that edge. Even before we turn back to God, we could be living on the edge of a breakthrough. As a matter of fact, we're almost always living on the edge of a breakthrough in our faith. God always has something more for you. Repentance, baptism, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're called to a particular ministry. There is always more that God can do in your life and through you as you grow in your faith. But all too often, we are reluctant to leave the edge that we have set up for ourselves. After the Apostle Paul was taken prisoner in Jerusalem, he got to preach the gospel to Felix, the governor of Caesarea. Acts chapter 24, verse 25. As Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you." Felix was afraid. He realized that he was on the edge of something huge, but he didn't want to leave where he was comfortable until it was convenient. Don't be that guy. It will never be more convenient. Move towards God today. God has awesome things for your life, but you have to step over the limits that you've imposed on your faith life. Quit living on that edge. Like I said back at the beginning, when it comes to an edge, one side is significantly better and one side is significantly worse. When it comes to God, the side with Him on it is always better. Significantly better. Amen. Praise God. God has incredible things to do in your life that you might not even be able to imagine right now. But the first step is you got to step over that edge and step into whatever He's calling you to. Don't be like the Israelites on the Jordan River. They were at the edge of the promised land, but they didn't want to cross over. Be like Joshua and go for it. God called you to go there. He has awesome things for you there. So let's do it. Yeah, things are nice on this side, but they're even better over there. If God's calling you, and God is calling you, don't be afraid. You got to step off of that edge where you've grown comfortable. God has even better things for you. One of the problems with the edge is that we believe we've always got more time. You know I need to get off of this edge. I know I need to make a decision. I know I need to move. Just not today. I got plenty of time. There is no better time than today. Let today be the day. You don't know what tomorrow holds. We may not get tomorrow. I pray the Lord returns soon. Or, you know, who knows what might happen to me as I'm running through the parking lot. Make that choice today to quit living on the edge and step out in your faith. Be bold. Make a move towards God today. In fact, you have the opportunity right now. At the end of service every week, we open these altars and we invite everyone to come forward and talk to God. That's the first step. Come and talk to Him. Where do you need to quit living on the edge? And what do you need to do to make that happen? What does God have for you? Where does He have to send you next? Are you willing to step out from where you're at right now and move towards Him today? I encourage you, quit living on the edge. These altars are open. Come and talk to God. Reach out to Him today. If you would like special prayer, just stand within 2 feet of the steps, and part of the pastoral staff would be glad to pray with you. If you don't want prayer, don't stand there, and nobody will bother you. But please, step off of the edge. Step out towards Him today.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.